Joey, Phoebe, Chandler, Monica,
Ross, Rachel, to us the Earth phenomena.
Here is our confession,
for it's an obsession
that never passed, so we made a podcast. I'm Adele.
I'm Zoe.
And this is Friends from A to Z.
Good morning, Zoe.
It's 11:59, so you just got away with saying that. I could pretty much do a good afternoon back to you.
keep filling, and then in a few seconds.
It'd be really bad if it was like 59 seconds of this, though. But it does work. You're like, good morning, indeed. It won't be 11:59 to the lovely people who are listening to this, unless it is, and then that would be super weird.
Wouldn't that be an awesome coincidence?
Yes. Joincidence?
Hey, guess what? Good afternoon.
Yeah, I know. Oh, is that what you're pointing at me?
Right, it's our favourite time of the week. It's time to discuss another episode of Friends today. It is season 4, episode 6, which is called The One with the Dirty Girl.
So I thought you were going to say it's your favourite time of the week because we're about to get dirty.
Well, indeed, yes. And we're going to do what we always do. We are going to talk about what we like, anything that we don't like. We're going to choose our favourite joke from this episode, our favourite friend from this episode. And we are going to be using 2020 vision to look at Friends through a lens and see if anything... Two things, really. Whether anything is a little bit questionable now, you wouldn't really see this done on TV 20 years later, or indeed the opposite, something super innovative and pioneering. But before we do that, we have to mention a few episodes ago when Chandler and Joey received the canoe in a sort of, well, not really a swap for the, well, sort of swap for the entertainment unit. We mentioned that there was a picture of us in that canoe from Friends Fest a few years ago, and the wonderful at Lisa Thompson tweeted us on Twitter on behalf of her daughter Violet and asked to see that photograph. So we posted it on Twitter. There it is for anybody who would like to see it.
There we go. 2016 it was.
4 years ago. Wow.
Yeah. And it was very hot. And yeah, that's all I remember. Did we have a few cocktails?
Okay, wasn't it? Because I think we didn't really know what to expect. It was the first time we'd ever been to Friends Fest, and it was quite early on in the Friends Fest experience.
Yeah, I think it's got a lot more slick now, hasn't it? Whereas, although I guess not happening this year. I don't know if it was planned, but it wouldn't be happening, would it?
They've moved it to September for the moment.
Oh, have they?
Yeah,
I would say still, even then, probably a bit dodgy. Well, it's funny, well, you listen to this in September and we'll...
Yeah.
This will be a distant memory. Anyway, right, let's talk about this episode then. So, first of all, we need to remind ourselves what's happened. Something dirty is happening in this episode. But actually, sometimes with Friends episodes, you know, they call the title one of the storylines that's not the most prominent. So I think we do need a reminder of what else goes on in The One with the Dirty Girl. So please, can we have that in the epidimeric, the episode in the form of a limerick? Please, Adele.
His date's habits fill Ross with unease. Mon and Phoebe's new ventures a breeze. Kathy picks up a sign in Chandler's rare birthday find. A book about rabbits and cheese.
Oh, very clever. A book about rabbits and cheese. Did you start with that line and then try to get the other ones?
I did get to that quite quickly. I wanted the Chandler Cathy thing to be the sort of hook.
Well, there it is. Yeah. 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 And then that's so good. It does fill Ross with unease, as I'm sure it would all of us. Oh, yeah. And a breeze because it's easy for them because they've done well together.
Well, yeah, they realise they have these complementary skills and strengths that they have together in a partnership.
Yeah.
And then the Kathy Chandler thing's interesting because obviously all sorts of things go on in that, but you'll see the bit that it's this unspoken communication that happens between Kathy and Chandler as a result of that book, which is my sort of little hook for this.
Excellent. Yeah, I like rare birthday find. That's a very natural phrase. So, well, it was a rare birthday find, and you've made it rhyme with Kathy Picks on a sign because she thinks, ooh, this is a very fancy gift from a very platonic friend. Well, you know, it's too fancy for platonicness.
Yes.
Good. Right, let's discuss all that then.
Dirty girl.
It's the one with the dirty girl.
Okay, episode 6. So IMDb and Netflix recap it like this. IMDb. Ross's new girlfriend is nearly perfect until he discovers her apartment is very dirty. Chandler buys a better birthday present for Kathy than Joey. Phoebe helps Monica cater an event. Rachel is obsessed at finishing a crossword puzzle by herself.
Okay.
Yeah. I think there's a little bit of a spoiler there, isn't there? And Ross's new girlfriend is nearly perfect until he discovers her apartment is very dirty.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you know what? I'm going to let off IMDb for spoilers more so, because I think you've probably watched the episode by the time you get to IMDb. So they are recapping it that way, whereas Netflix, when they do spoilers, it's just mean, because even if you haven't seen the episode for a while, you might have forgotten, oh, why, you know, why is it dirty? Why? Oh, God, and here goes Netflix. Ross's beautiful new girlfriend has a very dirty apartment. Chandler becomes more familiar with Joey's girlfriend.
What?
That's not what happens.
There are a whacking 4 storylines in this episode. Well, I'm one sort of a sub-storyline, but I'm impressed with IMDb. They had all 4 in there. Short, sharp, informative, lovely. Netflix, yeah. You wouldn't read that and want to watch it, would you?
Chandler becomes more familiar with Joey's girlfriend. That doesn't even really happen, though.
No, I mean, if anything, he has become more familiar prior to this, which enables him to buy a better present than...
Yeah, they actually don't. Kathy and Chandler barely see each other all episode. He's not becoming more familiar with her. He spends most of the episode away from her.
Yeah.
For God's sakes. All right. What do people think of this episode?
Well, people like this episode rather a lot.
I blimmin' love this episode.
Do you?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm saying that. My eye then went to my ranking. The IMDb ranking is slightly lower than mine. So it's in my top 10. I'm assuming it's in your top 10.
For sure.
Where is it in your top 10?
It's actually 5th.
Oh, that is high. So it's technically in the top 5.
Yeah. It's such an enjoyable watch.
Yes, it is. It is good. There are some really funny bits in this.
So funny.
It's 9th for me, so it's in my top 10.
Yeah, when I just said 5th then, I was like, maybe that is a bit high, but when I watched it, I felt it.
And it flows into, or it's part of a very important arc, isn't it? So I think that upweights it slightly in its score. Actually, IMDb, it's 8.5, which puts it 13th, so it's right in the middle for the way
you
do it. But...
Oh.
Does feature in Rank.com's top 100 episodes of all time. It's very close to the 100. It's 91st, so it's not that high, but it is certainly in there. So it's a popular one. We've got lots going on, actually. They cram quite a lot in here. It starts with Ross having been on a date with this beautiful, very 90s beautiful, but beautiful woman. He's kind of saying goodnight to her outside the window of Central Perk, and all the friends are kind of watching from inside. What do you think of Monica's comment?
It's probably the only time I'll say this in my life, but look at the ass on her.
You see the ass on her? Yeah.
Yeah. That's a bit of friends through a lens, isn't it?
It is a bit, but then I suppose she's just, you know, this woman does look like some kind of sort of woman you'd see on the cover of a magazine in the 90s. So, you know, she is
incredibly
beautiful.
Do you know who she is?
No.
Oh, she's very famous.
Is she?
Yeah. Well, she's not like crazy, crazy famous, but she's in all the X-Men films. She's got quite a big role in all the X-Men films. She's Rebecca Romijn Stamos. So she's in the X-Men films, and then she does things like she's in Star Trek. She was an Ugly Betty for a long time. But yeah, she's super hot. So when you say she looks like someone who'd be on the cover of a 90s magazine, she was on the cover of 90s magazines a lot. I think she was not famous at this point, though. She became very famous.
That's what I was just going to ask you, because the franchises that you read out there, I was thinking they don't feel very 90s.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But interestingly, she is married to, as the name suggests, oh, I don't know if they're still married, actually. John Stamos. Her name is Rebecca Romijn Stamos.
Yeah.
So John Stamos is like super hot. And he got very famous in Full House, which was like a 90s sitcom that I used to love when I was a kid. And they just actually rebooted it on Netflix because it was so big in its day that they've done a, and it's called Fuller House now. But what is interesting about John Stamos, aside from the fact that he's pretty famous, well, he's more, the more famous of the two, probably more famous in America rather than here.
Mm-hmm. I've never heard.
TV career. Well, you have heard of him, because what's interesting is,
oh, I'm so excited. I am so excited right now. Go on.
What's interesting is that he plays, much later on in Friends, he is in Friends, and he plays the guy that Monica and Chandler like basically interview as a sperm donor.
So
it's quite interesting that this couple, the man is held up as like, if we were going to have a child, we want it to be this perfect man's. And now here she is as this woman who is being held up as the perfect woman.
And they are a real life couple.
And they're real life married, yeah.
Well, that is interesting. Were they married at the time when she was in this episode?
Oh. Yeah, she's in the credits as Rebecca Romijn Stamos. Yeah.
Well, that's super interesting. I mean, do you think, what do you think of her performance in this episode?
Do you know this one bit she does that I absolutely love? It's to what is the line when she goes, hang on, I might have to look at my notes for the exact wording of the line. When then she's like, would you like to come in to Ross? And he's like, oh, was Homo erectus, blah blah blah. And she's like, according to recent findings.
Yeah,
I think she plays kind of a bit geeky quite well.
I just find her performance a bit stilted. And what bothers me about it is, I think, I mean, they obviously needed this incredibly attractive actress to play this part, because that's the point. But I feel like they had to compromise a bit on her actual acting skills. But now I hear she's been in loads of other stuff. I don't know, maybe she took acting lessons or something afterwards.
I think so. I think this was first. I think she might have been a model when she did this in the first one. But I get what you mean about the stilted. Totally. Like, oh, my hamster, where is it? You know, yeah.
And even that, the kind of killer line at the end, the oh, it's not Mitzi, it's just a rat. Like, even that is really kind of forced as well, and a bit hammy.
Yeah.
Given what you find.
A bit hamstery.
Nice. This cold open then, where we first meet her, that contains my favourite joke of the whole episode.
Oh, me too.
Oh, hashtag me too. Oh God, it's the same one again, isn't it? This is uncanny.
This is crazy. This is 4 out of 5 now. We've got the same joke. We haven't even said it yet. I assume we're both talking about the same thing.
Five out of six, by the way.
Pardon?
5 out of 6.
We're on 5 out of 6.
Yeah.
I feel like we say this joke to each other quite a lot.
Yeah, I think we might. So go on, what is it?
No, you do it.
So Rachel said, I'm also loving, by the way, that they've carried on with this sort of little snipey animosity between Rachel and Ross. I think it's really, very funny. Last episode, we had him waving around his napkin with the number on of Amanda, who turned out to think that he was babysitting for her. And this episode, he's now got a proper date. He's going out with this woman from work. And Rachel makes a kind of snidey comment that she's probably, you know, complete airhead because of how she looks. And Ross is like, actually, she's a specialist in, names a very difficult era of history that I can't recall. And Rachel says, well, maybe she and her friends are just having a contest to see who can bring home the biggest geek. And Ross says,
fine by me, hope she wins.
And it is both the line and the brilliant David Schwimmer delivery of the line. Oh,
so good.
The timing.
Oh, she wins. Yeah.
He barely even waits for her to finish the sentence. He's just straight in there. Fine by me. Hope she wins. Yeah, so there you go. 5 out of 6 times we've had the same joke and we are a quarter of the way through the season.
There you go. Yeah, and I do think we do say that to each other quite a bit.
We do. So overall then for this one, it's up there 5th for you. We've got a lot going on. We've got Ross and his Dirty Girl, which we've kind of sort of covered off, really. We've got Kathy's birthday. We've got Monica and Phoebe who find out that actually they might want to be a partnership together. And then you've got Rachel and this crossword kind of going on in the background. Are there particular elements of that that make this 5th for you? Or are you loving all 4 of those storylines equally?
I mean, obviously it's not the crossword that's going to be pushing this up for me, but it's Chandler and Kathy is really strong stuff here. And then just, I think there's a lot of jokes actually in that Ross storyline. And I wonder if it's actually how, maybe it's how David Schwimmer's whole, like he does a skit here, doesn't he, with the messy apartment that actually they might have gone, oh, he's actually really good at this. Like the Ross of kind of the German laundromat is long gone. German laundromat? German, you know what I mean.
German laundry detergent.
That's it. That kind of sort of more geeky, sweet Ross is really gone and has been replaced by probably a little bit more of a David Schwimmer element here. And he can really pull off these physical comedy scenes. And I wonder if it's that they've gone, oh, because I can't really remember him doing this so much himself before then. But we are going to have, you know, like the spray tan booth, the white teeth, the leather pants, the pivot, the sound. Like, he's really going to do a whole load of these, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. And so you're referring there, I guess, to the sort of crescendo of this storyline, are you? Where he decides, because he's been out with this girl, he goes around to her apartment, it's absolutely disgusting. And there is this little bit that I think's particularly funny where he does what we would all do. He thinks, right, okay, the option here is to get her to my apartment instead, because that's much more appealing and safe and not riddled with disease and dirt. And she says to him, oh, but I don't want this to sound rude, but your apartment's got a funny smell, which I just think is a lovely.
Oh, you think it's funny?
Yeah. So he confides in Joey, and Joey says, look, what are you doing? Just, you know, kind of just get over it and just carry on. So the kind of crescendo of this is he's round there. He decides to just kind of bite the bullet and go with it. And then there's this brilliant sequence where he sits on the sofa, on the arm of the sofa, because there's nowhere else to sit. And she comes out of the bathroom in like a negligee, covers his eyes and goes, guess who? And he goes, Department of Sanitation.
He's like, no, it's me. Oh, I see. Yeah.
And they kind of move it to the sofa and it's just, yeah, moment after moment of...
Yeah, it's really funny. Yeah. And it's quite, you know, and it's clever that then he ends with thinking that he's killed the hamster. But it's nice that he didn't actually kill the hamster. It's just a rat, as we've just talked about. So that is full of some like funny stuff. But yeah, it's the Chandler Joey whole storyline, which is obviously the more meaningful one, the one that elevates the episode, I think, for me. Should we talk about that one?
Yeah, let's talk about that. So what is going on here with Chandler and Joey? It's Kathy's birthday, right?
Kathy's birthday. So Chandler's going to buy a gift. So we've left it the episode before where Chandler is like, we've had some kind of painful moments of Chandler just feeling so in love with Kathy. And now here it is. It's her birthday. So he's like, oh, I want to get her something. And they're kind of being a bit like, does he say, like, how am I going to buy a present without showing her I'm in love with her or something?
Well, he comes in and already tells them what he's got. And that is when they're a bit like,
oh, yeah,
is this not a bit obvious? And this is a little bit weird, isn't it? It is weird that Chandler's got her a gift, do you think?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, because Joey, like, if Joey isn't even sure if he's supposed to buy her a gift because of the newness of their relationship, if Joey's not even sure of that, why the hell would his flatmate friend have to buy her a present, you know?
Yeah.
Well, it's because he's in love with her.
Well, yes. But he sort of, but what I find interesting about this is he doesn't, no one sort of blinks an eye that he's bought her a birthday present. They blink at what he's got, but then they find that a little bit weird. I wonder as well for Chandler, what do you think he is hoping is going to happen here? Like, what's his end game?
Good point. What is his end game here? I think he just wants to make her happy. He just wants her to have a nice moment.
Does he, or is he sort of trying really to give her a bit of a sign on some level, like whether that's conscious or unconscious? He might be convincing himself it's just because he likes her and he managed to get this book, but I don't know. This is very, very dangerous ground. And I'm also quite surprised he's so open with the other friends about it as well, because it's creating a weird situation where Joey is completely out of this loop and all the rest of them know how Chandler feels, and he's sort of sharing all of this with them. He's not, for me, if this were me, I would be on the down low with this. You know, I wouldn't be telling anyone what I'd done. So I don't know, I find it, this is why I really love this storyline, because I think it's layered with like intention, unspoken intention, and they bring that out, I think, really super well. I do think, by the way, if I didn't think I could love Chandler anymore, he's the kind of guy that would seek out an early edition of someone's childhood favourite book. I mean, come on, I basically should be marrying this guy.
Yeah, and that's it, like he's showing a more, you know, like, this is a really sweet, nice, you know how we just said, like, we've kind of lost the sweet Ross, we've got sweet Chandler instead.
We do, and what I think is very interesting, and it's a clue that I think you have to follow, yes, he's bought this book, which is a very emotional present, but there's an implication here, which is they have had some really intimate conversations, because you do not just spontaneously tell somebody what your favourite childhood book was. That sort of conversation comes up very intimately in a sort of, it's quite an exposing thing to say, isn't it, when you start talking about your childhood and all these sorts of kinds of things. So they have talked a lot for him to even know in the first place that this is the kind of gift that she would like. They've got very close.
That's the chat when he's like, we sat up all night talking.
Yeah.
You know, that's the kind of thing you do when you're connecting with someone and you know this stuff. And yeah, the gift is a very, very nice gift.
Do you think in any way he's trying to, in the nicest possible way, sabotage Joey and Kathy? Like, maybe not to the end game that he could be with her, but just so that Joey and Kathy don't become a permanent long-term thing, because that would just kill him, wouldn't it? Like, I'm just like, what are you doing? What are you doing buying this incredibly personal gift for this girl that it can't be anything other than a clue to her, a signal to her that of how you feel? What are you doing? Because it's your best friend's girlfriend. Like, this is not good. This is not good.
Yeah. I see it more, a bit more like he just can't help himself, you know? He just likes her and knows that this will make her happy. And ultimately, he does give Joey the gift to give to her. And he says, because I just wanted to have it.
True. But he does say, even if it can't come from me. So his initial intention was that she would know full well that he'd got her that.
Yeah. Well, it would suck, wouldn't it? If you choose something really, really good and then somebody, you know, have to give it to someone else to give to them. You'd be like, I want the credit. Or is that just me?
I think it might just be you. If it was truly altruistic, you wouldn't mind. Now, there are some brilliant laughs in this storyline, even though it's quite heart-wrenching at times, all the horrible things that Chandler has to go through. It is super funny, this whole thing about Joey trying to buy the right present for her. I love it when he comes in and he goes, oh, it's so hard to shop for girls. And Chandler goes, yes, it is, at Office Max.
That is so funny. That's probably my second favourite joke of the episode. At Office Max, what the hell is he doing shopping at Office Max?
No idea. And I like it when he goes, oh, I've got this pen that's also a clock. And Chandler goes, you can't give her that. And he goes, why not? And he goes, because you're 9/11.
Somebody said you're 9/11 then. No, you're not 9/11.
It sounded a bit like that.
And then he's like, what's he going to do with it? What's she going to do with this? Like, well, she'll be writing at work. And then she turns over, oh, it's time for my date with Joe.
And this is what makes this even more painful, right? Because you get this contrast. You get the three things here. You get the contrast between how little effort Joey can be bothered to put into buying this present versus what Chandler goes to. You get the fact that then Chandler can't find anything that's better than the book, so he has to give Joey the book to give to her. And then you get that Joey pretends the clock pen is from Chandler later on. Like, it's a great, it's not just funny in the concept, the setup, but it also makes it even more hurtful to watch.
And he gives us a gift, he goes, oh, go, Chandler, do something too. No, I didn't. Yeah, you did. No, I didn't. He goes, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's absolutely amazing. So that bit when Cassie, so they've come back from this date and Joey is like, my goodness me, she really liked that book. I'm going to get a lot of thanking for that. Thank you very much. And he goes, she's over there showing it to Monica and Rachel. And then Cassie comes in and she hugs Chandler to say thank you. We know that she now knows at this point that he got her that book, and she kind of hangs back almost because she wants to, well, why does she hang back? Why does she want a little private word with Chandler?
Oh, she hangs back. Yeah, definitely, doesn't she? Because Joey says, we go to bed, and she's like, yeah, just give me a minute, because she wants him to know she knows.
That she knows.
He knows. Yeah. And she looks incredible in that pencil skirt, by the way. I just want to say that.
Yeah, she does. She does.
Yeah.
So this is an important moment, isn't it? Because she really is now going, what is going on here? This is a bit odd. And I love this bit where she says, you must really like Joey to do that for him. And then you see the penny drop with Chandler and he goes, yeah, he's my best friend. Like, it's bad. We can't do anything here.
I was just going to say that it is absolutely clear now. They both know what's going on here. And I think it's Cassie. She's knows that Chandler likes her from this gift, but she's now clicked for her that she likes him too.
Oh, do you think?
Yeah.
Because of the gift? Like, because of how thoughtful he is and how well he's been listening to her and stuff?
Yeah. Well, I think they probably had all these moments and these long chats and stuff, and she's probably ignored it a bit. And now with this gift, she's like, oh my God, what a nice thing.
So let me ask you something. Does it bother you what she does next? For the listeners, Zoe is nodding in a sort of uncomfortable way. Yeah.
You?
Yes. And I don't know whether it should or it shouldn't. So I'm referring to the fact that immediately after this really tender moment where I agree with you, not only does kind of Chandler give himself away here, but you think she does this because she's sort of testing the water a bit. She's like, I like this guy, and is anything going to be able to happen? Joey emerges and is like, come on, you're late for your Joey voucher or whatever. And off she goes into the bedroom for a night of frolics with Joey.
You know, with the thin wall to Chandler. Like, how can he not hear what's going on in that bedroom? I mean, he does, because he goes, my bedroom's very close to the parade route, doesn't he?
At some point. And also,
I know.
I'm like, I don't know. I'm so torn, because there's a bit of me that thinks, A, how hurtful is that to Chandler that you're doing that? And also, even more confusing for Chandler, because you've just had this interchange where he's like, oh, I think she likes me. And then he's hearing that all night. Secondly, it's not very fair on Joey, because what she's clearly got feelings for someone else here, so that's not very nice. But then on the other hand, I'm like, it's not that serious with Joey. We know that in the kind of culture of the times, this wasn't, you know, there's a whole moment at which you kind of declare you're monogamous with a person, and there was a lot of kind of dating more than one person and stuff at the time if you were into that sort of thing. So I'm like, well, maybe she's just having fun with Joey and she's still figuring out what she wants. But I don't know. I don't think.
I know. Like, as good as this storyline is, we had last week, didn't we, that Cassie, the way that she's kind of all over Joey, touchy-feely with him and stuff, when Chandler's sitting right there, and then, and now he's done this amazing thing for her, she's kind of got a serious look on her face, like she knows it's amazing, and she's also, she's kind of testing it out. She's like, but Joey's your best friend, so we can't. It feels a bit like that kind of conversation, like, I really like you, you like me, but we can't because Joey's your best friend. So they're kind of having that conversation, and then she just, rather than just remove herself from the situation, just goes off and uses her coupon.
Yeah, she cashes in that coupon a few times over, I imagine. I'm thinking about that listening to you, and I'm thinking, what would I have preferred? And I think, sort of ethically, from what we're saying, it might have been appropriate for her to say to Joey, do you know what, actually, I'm pretty tired or whatever, I'm just going to go home. But then you wouldn't get the next episode, you wouldn't have the next episode, because Joey would be like, what's going on here? There's something weird. She would have to break up with him, and then that might be that. So I suppose Joey has to not realise there's any issue, because then Chandler can't betray him if she decides to go home. But it's just a really unfortunate, oh, I just don't like it. And I don't think, again, a bit like we said last time with the way her character's being directed, it doesn't look very good on her. And we thought there were things they got her character to do last time that made her look a bit disingenuous and a bit two-faced and not quite right. And they've had to do it here, but for the purposes of the story, but I don't think it makes her look very good.
Especially she smiles as she walks off into the bedroom. She kind of does this sort of fairly sort of model-like walk into the bedroom and sort of smiles like, oh yeah, you know, it's kind of, never mind.
Yeah.
I'm happy.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It looks manipulative, doesn't it? To both of them. It's like she's playing them off one against the other. And poor old Chandler has to go back into his bedroom. Oh,
God knows what he does in there.
Oh, Zoe! A little, small, tiny detail here. A little flaw. Joey says she's over there showing the book to Rachel and Monica right now. Then Kathy comes into the apartment, I believe without the book and with the smallest handbag in the world. So I don't know where the book is, but she's left it somewhere.
Oh, I see. Yeah, that's a good point. Maybe Rachel and Monica wanted to have a look at it. No,
maybe.
I don't think so.
Maybe.
I don't think so.
So there we go. It's another kind of cliffhanger, really, isn't it? Because we're like, well, here we go. There are mutual feelings, but this is not yet resolved. So we know this is
happening. And it does work. There's a few funny lines for Joey as well. Like, it works because this is his character. He's just being classic Joey here, where he's like, I don't have to buy her anything. And then does Chandler say, you bought Angela Del
Vecchio.
You never bought her a birthday gift? And he goes, oh, she never had a birthday when we were dating. And Chandler's like, for 3 years?
For 3 years? Another great delivery of line.
Yeah, that's funny. And then when he can't have the... he went like the pen gift, everyone's like, no, you can't give her that pen gift, and so he goes to the door, he's like, I can't shop anymore. This is like tantrum moment. It's like, oh god.
I actually really like as well, it's a pretty inconsequential line, but I really like Rachel's when she's trying to help Chandler and she's like, why don't you just return the book, let Joey give her the clock pen and get her something worse than that, like a regular pen. Like, it's the only thing that's worse than a clock pen. Playline. Actually, while we're on Rachel, quickly, her and crossword. It's not a proper storyline, but it's got some funny little bits in it. I quite like it.
It has a beginning, a middle, and an end. She has a problem, which is I can't do this crossword, and then the middle is her trying to find these sneaky ways to get the answers, and then the end is I did it. And there's quite a funny moment where then she's like, there's no one to hug, and Gunther throws himself across Central Perk to try and hug her.
Quite literally.
Yeah, it's quite cute.
I like the bit where she says, she suggests to Chan that she gets that kind of weavy way of trying to get the answers out of other people and starts a conversation with Chandler about going to see a musical. And then he's like, oh yeah, when do you want to go? And she's like, oh, I'm sorry, I can't, I'm busy. It's just really like, it's so Rachel. It's fine. So meanwhile, while all this shenanigans is going on, Monica gets an offer to cater for quite a big event, a funeral for 60 people. Oh my God, what happened?
60 guests. I'm going to admit, when I watched this just now for this chat, that was the first time I understood that joke. No. I've been misinterpreting it all these years. I thought I thought, this is really dumb, but I thought Rachel was going, oh no, what happened? Like, why did you have to turn it down? You need the work. And Monica's like, 60 guests. She's like, I've had to turn it down for 60 people, turn down a funeral for 60 people. And Rachel's like, oh no, why? What happened? Why did you have to turn that down? She's like, 60 guests happened. That's why I had to turn it down. Because then she then says, I can't cater for that kind of big thing. I'm like, why is that funny? It's not that funny. And it's really not the meaning of the joke.
That's quite funny, because the way you've interpreted that, that means it's not even a joke. Like, there's not even any humour.
I know.
Yeah, okay.
Like, what? Oh no, what happened? 60 guests happened. That's what happened. No, what she means is it's not 60 people that have died. It's 60 people coming to the funeral.
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you for explaining that for the purposes of no one, because everybody else apart from you got that joke.
Really didn't get it.
This is quite a nice story, I think. I like this.
Yeah, it works, doesn't it? And it's got quite a lot in it. Like, you think, oh, is this going to turn into a kind of money borrowing whole shenanigans? Because there is a risk there, isn't it? Like, lending friends money. Phoebe, by the way, how does she have any money, considering she is an out-of-work masseuse? But anyway, she then lends her the money very quickly.
Yeah.
But doesn't put any deadline on it, doesn't put any conditions on it. And then it seems like the next day wants her money back.
Yeah, no, that is a bit weird, isn't it? I'll take one and my money, please. This, and then they end up sort of, she ends up helping Monica, doesn't she? Because the funeral is such a big event. I really think this is very funny where they can't get the money out of the widow. I think that is so funny.
And it's good that for this company, they're like, you know, it's really awkward to get payment. And I totally get that. It's based on one of those kind of authentic insights, isn't it? A real insight that is awkward to have to be like, now you need to pay me for this thing.
Yeah.
And do that at a funeral is even more awkward. So yeah, it makes sense. This episode is good because even this kind of B storyline here, it's one that is believable.
And they're very true. It's very true to the characters as well, because you've got Monica, who's not sort of daring to speak up, but you've got Phoebe, who is much less concerned about that, and actually very principled as well. And I like that we see Phoebe's good friend side here. Like, she's really encouraging of Monica early on when Monica's not sure. And then when they're at the funeral together, Phoebe's like, give me the bill, I'll go and deal with this woman. You know, I like that. We like that side of Phoebe, don't we? She's like a really good solid friend that you can rely on.
Yeah.
It's the little touches in this storyline, though, like the brilliant editing when Monica's like, oh, you know, she's really upset, and then Phoebe's like, really? And they open the door and she's singing this like really jovial song. And then at one point she's like, jeepers creepers. Teresa's song is great. Yeah, it's good. And it's got a bit of continuity, right? Because it's not just a one-off thing. They realise that actually neither of them are working, and they could create this partnership, which feels like, oh, brilliant, that's going to be a really good, like, little journey we're going to go on with Monica and Phoebe. That's cool.
Yeah, that is good. And it makes sense, because Monica does the cooking and Phoebe does the kind of finances and the organising and just sort of the helping out. I like it when Phoebe then, when she actually gets the money out of Jeepers Creepers woman, and she follows her. She goes, oh, I'll go and get my bag. Phoebe follows her just uncomfortably close the whole way back, and then Monica's like, if you'd like to recommend us for your next event, I'm just gonna leave some cards here. When they just have this like Barney in the middle of the room. So yeah, that's funny as well.
She's a hard ass, as Phoebe says,
and wuss. Hard ass and wuss, the perfect superhero combination.
My crime. Yeah, good. So this is a good one, isn't it? There's loads going on, and there's quite a lot of continuity as well, which we like. It moves the story forward. We have the same favourite joke, fine by me, hope she wins.
Mm-hmm.
Who, though, an episode actually with a lot of good, funny lines spread equally across a lot of the friends, who is your favourite friend?
Yeah, it's a tough one, because it is a lot of funny lines spread across the friends. And I've gone for a bit of a weird one here. I've gone for Joey. I think it's just because I love his naivety of how he's been shopping at Office Max, and how he's so just kind of innocent about his pen gift, and he's got his coupons, and I think you really need him to be like this to give Chandler like the heart to do the Kathy stuff. You know, I like Joey. I'm always partial to a bit of Joey.
Oh, totally, yeah. And that's interesting, isn't it? Because it's interesting that you pick up on the naivety, because that's now making me think that all helps to build up this sense of betrayal that is coming, right?
Yeah, so, exactly.
Yeah, Joey's so sort of innocent in all of this, which is weird because Joey is actually very manipulative when it comes to women. So it's a bit weird that he's on the other end of this kind of thing. Interesting. So mine was Chandler. Just because I think it's absolutely heartbreaking. I think he plays it really well. And by the end of this episode, we're starting to get really worried because he's backing himself into a hell of a corner here that we just don't know how he's going to get out of. And of course, he just never has these encounters with women. He's just so unlucky with women, and here he's found someone that he believes is really special, and he's in this impossible situation.
It's just... He's boxing himself in, you could say.
Oh! Very good. Very good. Reference to a couple of episodes coming up.
Yeah.
Right, so that's it. I mean, the next one... So we get a clue. The next episode is called, it's episode 7, the one where Chandler crosses the line. We know there's more trouble a-brewing. And you can join us next time to find out in what way Chandler crosses the line and what happens as a result. And in the meantime, you can find us on Twitter. Our handle is @ Friends from A to Z. We have a Facebook page where you can come and talk to us if you would quite like to do that. And we'd encourage you to subscribe to this podcast wherever you listen, because then whenever we send one out, you get a little notification.
Bing!
Chandler Bing! Usually on a Sunday when these go live. But for now, I've got to go because I'm due to cash in a voucher of Joey Love. So
no,
I don't want to be
I'm jealous.
I knew you would be. I'm getting you one for your birthday, don't worry.
Okay, it's not from you, though.
That's our podcast. Thanks for listening to the end. Friends from A to Z, we hope that you come back again. You've got a confession. And you share our obsession, too. We'll be there.